In James chapter 3, the first part of the chapter talks about the tongue. You know, and we've talked about that before. I preached about that before because I always get convicted by it. And I think if I get convicted by it, most everybody else would at least agree that I need it. So they'll listen to me preach to myself. But how important is the tongue, the things that we say? How important it is to be consistent with the things that we say, to not bless and curse, to not tell the truth and lie, to live rightly with the power that God has given us in our words. And then the verses I want to read tonight, it starts in verse 13. It talks about those of us that are wise, and I say those of us, but it might not include me in every situation. And I remember Thursday night, I appreciated senior saints, but the thing that stuck with me after Thursday night was Wayne asked a question about who when Jack and Marianne sang. He said, "Does anybody think these people that these two have sung together here before?" And he was trying to settle a disagreement between him and Carol. And he finally said, "All right, well, Carol remembers it differently, and she's right." And I thought, "Well, that's wisdom." And I couldn't remember either, but he has taken that wisdom. I heard somebody else, you know, say, "Happy wife, happy life." That's wisdom. That's taking the knowledge and applying it. I'm not there yet because I still like to argue, and I still think I'm right sometime, but I'm getting better. And that's wisdom to take to learn. You know, that's not some things are just not worth having a disagreement over. But the verse that we read, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge? Who's somebody that has that experience? They have that knowledge, but they've also used it. They have common sense, wisdom. They have the ability to use that knowledge in a skill and use it and be wise with what they know. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. And then it talks about what's going to get in the way of that. Verse 14, but if you have bitter envying and strife, envy is desiring something that somebody else has and wanting it for yourself. Strife is just confusion and fighting. If you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. James, God says through the book of James, if it's in there, get it out. Because you're trying to show a good conversation. You're trying to show a good way of life, a way of living, a manner of life, or the way that you conduct yourself. Okay, a good conversation. So if there's bitter envying and strife in your heart, don't be proud of that. Glory not, and lie not against the truth. Don't lie to yourself about what's in your heart, and don't lie to other people. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. If we realize where our wisdom comes from, we'll put it in the right importance in our life. Earthly, sensual, devilish. Paul talked about it in Philippians. He said, mind earthly things. If the more we're focused on heaven, the less we'll care about the things of this earth. I was talking in junior church this morning. I was talking about when Jesus returns, when the rapture happens and we go to heaven. I used to worry about that for a lot of reasons. I was shown some scary movies when I was a kid about when the rapture happens. It was in the 70s, so everybody had bell bottoms and weird hairstyles. But when, you know, there was a dramatization of when Jesus comes back. And I would sit there and think about what's it going to be like on earth when Jesus comes back. And I would be fearful. And I told the kids this morning, I thought about it. And more than one person told me, well, why are you worried about what's going to happen when Jesus comes back? Because you're sure you're saved, so you're not going to be here during that time, right? And they gave me the idea of an airport or getting ready to go on a trip. You know, if you're excited about, and again, in my experience, it was going somewhere fun. So if you're sitting in the airport, you're not making yourself at home in the waiting room. You're not making yourself at home waiting on the departure. You're ready to go where the plan is to go. But when it comes to earthly wisdom, the same is true. Sometimes we invest too much worry and too much time in something that's temporal. It'd be like going to the airport or the waiting room and saying, I'm going to put my bed over there and my couch will be there and my TV and my refrigerator and I'm going to live here at this temporary place. It'd be investing in a place and a time that's not right to invest in, not right to worry about, because you're not going to be there that long. Earthly wisdom says, I'm worried about what the world thinks of me. I'm worried about what other people's opinion, maybe they don't believe in God, but they're important to me right now. They're important to me right now, so I want to impress them. If that's a part of your life, that's a part of your life that you're not using to please God. That's a part of your life that's not a conversation that glorifies God. So earthly wisdom says, I'm not ready to leave yet. I'm not ready to depart this world. Earthly wisdom says, instead of this world is not my home, earthly wisdom says, I've made myself at home here. I want the lifestyle. I want people to appreciate. I want the world's appreciation. I want the world's respect. That earthly, sensual, talks about animal instinct. Of course, sensual means what you think it means, but it also means the way that we express ourselves. A base reaction, a base ask, the things that we ask for and the things that we want. I have three kids. They're 4 years apart. My older kids, I expect them to be a little bit more eloquent in the way that they ask me for things. Okay, so they have learned, as I learned as a child, there is a way to get things that you want and the way to ask and receive, and there's a way to just make people angry and to never get what you want. Even Anna is learning that. She doesn't know a lot of words, but she knows daddy and mama and snack. She wants a snack. She can say snack. So she's learning what's important, and she's learning how to ask. And that word, sensual, that talks about just fighting like cats and dogs and saying, you know, this is the way it's going to be. I want what I want. I want what I want. Instead of learning through wisdom to make a priority, to make what is important. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. Again, if we realize where the earthly wisdom comes from, and it comes from the devil, then we'll put it out of our life. And we have to get rid of that before we can get to the good news that comes next. But we got to realize that Satan is behind the conflict, and Satan is behind the envy. Again, I talked to kids this morning about there are some things that come into our life that we don't have to pray and ask God if he's the one that sent it into our life. God allows us to be tested and tried, but God doesn't tempt us to sin. God doesn't give us the spirit of fear. You know, if we're afraid of something, we don't need to pray and ask God if he's sent that fear into our life, because God is not the God of fear or confusion. He's not given us the spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. And if we realize where it came from, we realize the true source of it, we'll put it out of our life. I read a church sign that said, a part-time Christian will never beat a full-time devil. Okay, so the devil is always working to uproot and tear up our life. And if we only think about it sometime, if we only address it sometime, he's going to find an inroad into our life. He'll find a way to make us envy. He'll find a way to have us cause our own strife in our life. But that's what we need to get rid of. Let's get to verse 16. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But, verse 17, the good news. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. The way that we live our lives on this earth, even though it's temporary, the way that we live our lives matter. Of course, most importantly, if you're here and you never trusted Christ, you are completely wasting your life, because all you have without Christ is whatever time God allows you to have, and then it's over. But if you're a Christian, you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, then the way that you live your life, the things that you learn, the wisdom that you receive from God, that you receive from teachers in your life, the way that you use that wisdom matters. The wisdom that is from above is first pure. If you want somebody to like something, we had a lot of testimonies about restaurants tonight. If you want somebody to like your favorite restaurant, so you offer to pay for it. That's always, you know, that helps. That's a selling point if somebody's going to pay for it. But you take them to your favorite restaurant, you know what you want them to order. You know the best thing on the menu. You know the best ingredients. You know the best recipes. And you're hoping, and you might even suggest, you know, if you really want the best impression of this, you should order this. You should go at this time of day. You should ask for this waiter and make sure this guy's in the kitchen. You know, you want everything to be right, because it's that idea of pure wisdom. Honesty. Paul told Timothy, keep thyself pure. Honesty to ourselves. Daniel, when he was brought before a heathen king, the Bible says Daniel purposed in his heart. Purity is something that happens on the inside. I remember, of course, being younger. You know, when I was growing up, my mom would I don't know how to say it. She would point out things that she didn't want me to look at. She'd say, "Don't look over there." You know, be driving down the road. Don't look at that billboard. Like, okay, well, okay, where do you want me to look? You know, but she was concerned about that. I remember more than once she would say, "I don't like the way that guy looks at me." Like she'd say, "I don't know if he's doing it on purpose, but I don't like the way that guy looks at me." She would talk about the direction of the eye, the way that you look. And I said, "Well, Mom, how do you know what they're thinking? You know, you don't know what they're thinking. You don't know where I'm looking unless you're looking at me." But she said, "That's something that happens on the inside. That's purity." She's right. She said, "You're right. I don't know what you're thinking about. I don't know what you're looking at. But purity is something that happens in the heart." Daniel purposed in his heart. Paul said, "Keep thyself pure." He didn't say, "Hey, you know, here's some guys to surround you and make sure you stay on the straight and narrow." He said, "No, you're going to be responsible for that between you and God. It's not going to come easily. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure." Again, it talks about being honest with yourself, about being honest with other people. That's the next one, being peaceable. Being peaceable doesn't always mean just getting along with people. It means finding that spirit that comes from God of peace. That means finding peace that passeth our understanding, Philippians 4. It means to be a peacemaker. So purity is what goes on the inside, and then peaceable is how we treat people on the outside. Gentle, treating everybody, we talked about in Sunday school, but treating people without partiality. Easy to be entreated means to listen to other people's opinions. This one's a hard one for all of us. But to stop and say, "Well, why do I believe what I believe? Why do I feel so strongly about this? Is it because it's in God's word?" I heard Kelly preaching to somebody tonight. What does the Bible say? And that's the first question we all should ask. Is it in God's word? Is the thing that I am angry about in the word of God? And if not, then why am I so passionate about it? Why am I not willing to listen when somebody has an opinion that's different than mine? Why do I believe what I believe? And easy to be entreated says, "I'm going to listen. I'm going to understand. I'm going to take it back to God's word." Full of mercy. None of us have trouble saying how merciful God is to us, but sometimes we have trouble showing that mercy to other people. Full of good fruits. Again, it's not the works that save us, but there's a fruit of the Spirit. There's a byproduct. There's actions that come out of believing what we should believe. If we have God's wisdom, it'll show up in our life without partiality, without hypocrisy. Again, it's good news at the end. But in James 3, "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." It talks about the daily actions in our life, the daily habits. And again, I don't pretend to be the wise man that's endued with knowledge, but there has to come a time in our life where we either say, "I've got it and I need to start showing it to other people," or "I don't have it yet and I need to find out why." I've got the wisdom, and if that's you, you need to show it out of a good conversation. I know you're joking a little bit about praying out loud, but our lives as Christians need to be lived out loud. It shouldn't be a 50-50 chance of, you know, whether we believe in God or not. People should be able to know by the words that we say, and the way that we act and the way that we live our lives, our beliefs should show through in our words and our actions. It should be lived out loud. And if you have feel, I'm not saying you've got it all right and you know everything, but if you feel like God has blessed you with that wisdom, then you have an obligation. Unto whom much has been given, much more shall be required. You have an obligation to show that faith, to show that wisdom. And if there's bitterness or strife or sensual, devilish, earthly wisdom, then it's also a responsibility. It's also a responsibility to say, the way that I'm thinking, the way that I'm looking, the purity or the lack of, that needs to change. I need to change that so I can become a peacemaker. I need to change that so I can become gentle and full of mercy and good faith. Because I can't fill up with the good until I get rid of the bad. I can't be what I need to be for God and be an example until I get rid of that earthly, temporal, useless wisdom. It's no good here. Most everybody in the world believes in it, but it's not any good in this life, and it is for sure no good in the next life. So I challenge you tonight, before you leave this place, if God has spoken to you and said, you know, you used to have that straight, but you've gotten off the path a little bit. You used to have an agreement in your own mind about the things that you'd think about, the things that you'd look at, and it's still just between you and God. But that purity might be lacking. That peace that only comes from God might be lacking. And again, if there's confusion and strife, God's not the one that sent it. Recognize where it comes from. The devil's working full time. God needs us to pay attention all the time. So we're going to have a word of prayer. And again, if God spoke in your heart, if you're here tonight and you never trusted Christ, this life is a waste without Jesus. This world is not your home. And without Christ, you have no hope for the next life. So I'd ask you not leave the way you came if that's you tonight. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your mercy and your grace. Thank you for the wisdom that only comes from you. And I pray, Lord, if we do think, well, I've learned that lesson. I don't need to be taught that lesson anymore. If that's true, that we acknowledge it and that we teach it to somebody else, that we'd say, well, now I get to have a good conversation, a good way of living that I can share with somebody else. I don't have to keep it to myself. I can live out loud representing Christ. And again, Lord, if we've slacked in one of these areas, if in our mind or in our testimony we've dropped the ball, I pray, Lord, we'd pick it back up and say it is worth following Christ, and my life hasn't been that example all the time when I want it to be. So pray, bless our invitation, bless each one. Thank you for our time together tonight. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.